Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're going to be talking today about your reward in heaven. And if you are a believer, you're not just going to be entered or ushered into heaven. That's part of the glory. That's part of the blessing. But you will also receive rewards according to your work that you have done here on this earth. And so if you're not a believer today, don't tune out on this message. If you're not a believer, stay in there, and you can start your Christian walk today by confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior, by coming to Him, by turning from your walk that you're on now, repenting of your sin, and you can come to know Jesus, and then you too will have reward in heaven waiting for you. So why is it important that we know that we have rewards, or that we are able to gather rewards when we get to heaven? Well, it's important because we get weary in this battle down here. Many people are weary. Many people grow tired and discouraged. And so if we look to God's word and we look to the encouragement that Jesus gives us in God's word, we know that we have rewards waiting for us, and it gives us hope to stay in the battle. It gives us hope to endure to the end. And so that is the reason why God has given rewards, why He holds rewards for us in heaven. And it is spoken about in His holy word. And so we can have that encouragement when we're here on this earth, where there's pain, where there's sorrow, where there's disappointment and all kinds of broken dreams. We can have hope that we will be rewarded for the good works that we do here on this earth. And just let me say right here, beloved, we're not saved by good works. It isn't the good works that we do that saves us. It's our confession of faith. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who's in heaven. And so it's our confession of faith. Paul says in Romans 10:10, with your heart you believe, resulting in righteousness. With your mouth you confess, resulting in salvation. So you confess with your mouth, you speak the words that you believe that Jesus is who He says He is. You believe, you speak, so others can hear you, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's what guarantees your confession and guarantees your salvation, that you speak it and you believe it and you speak it. First, you believe in your heart. Second, you speak with your mouth. Third, you turn and repent from your wicked ways. You turn and repent, and then you follow the Lord. And so you're not saved by your works. You're saved by your confession. But after you are saved, you are then called to do good works. You're saved for good works, and the Lord will line up work for you. The Lord and the Holy Spirit will prompt you and convict you to do things for the kingdom. Maybe you've never thought about that before. Maybe you've never thought about doing things for the kingdom, but I guarantee you that Jesus has a plan for your life. Faithful is He who calls you, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is He who calls you, and He will see it come to pass. And so He has a plan for your life. He has works for you to do, and He knows your tomorrows. He will lead you into those tomorrows so that you can help build the kingdom here on this earth, that you can be a mighty warrior for the kingdom and help defeat the kingdom of the devil. That is God's plan for your life. And if you're not doing anything for the kingdom, if you don't have any works for the kingdom, and you're just taking up space on a pew, or maybe you're not even going to church, but you're a believer, God has a plan for you to get involved in the works of the kingdom. God has a plan for you to build the kingdom on this earth. And when you get involved in that plan, when you start to step forward and move forward in that plan, God will then encourage you, He will strengthen you, and He will speak to you about even greater works than the works that you're presently doing. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we hear by the Apostle Paul the plan of God for the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, Paul says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And so I believe that this judgment seat of Christ takes place after the rapture. The last three Sundays we've talked about the resurrection. Last week I spoke specifically about the rapture and taught about the rapture. And the rapture is the catching away or the catching up of the body of Christ. And it is, I believe, at the start of the Great Tribulation. Revelations chapter 6 is the start of the Great Tribulation. In my mind, what I read, chapter 6 through chapter 19 is the tribulation or the Great Tribulation here on this earth. And so we are caught up. The church is caught up. The believers are caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And then we're taken to heaven, are taken up. I believe that before the marriage supper of the Lamb, Revelation chapter 19, I believe we're caught up with the Lord. And then at that time, that is when the judgment seat of Christ takes place, that each one will give an account of himself, that each one may receive the things done in the body. He's talking about the rewards that each may receive while you're in the body, while you're in your fleshly body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And so this is not a judgment for unbelievers. The judgment for the unbelievers comes in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. That is the great white throne judgment. And for those people who have never confessed Jesus, who don't know Jesus, have never walked with Jesus or confessed his name, they will appear at the white throne judgment, and their judgment has already been determined. In other words, their sentencing has already been determined because they have not confessed Jesus. They have denied Jesus. They've denied the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. They've denied their own confession of sin, and so their judgment has already been determined, and their sentencing then takes place in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And their sentence, beloved, is not one that you want to be a participant in. Their sentencing is that they will be sentenced to a life eternal without knowledge of God, without presence of God, and that sentence, beloved, is not one that you want to participate in. And so Paul says that you're going to receive reward for the things that you've done, whether good or bad. Everything that you've done good for the kingdom will be accounted to you for righteousness. Everything that you've done bad will be accounted for you as sin. But when you confess your sin, when you repent of your sin, then the Lord says he remembers your sin no more. It's as far as the east is from the west. And so when you repent of your sin and confess your sin, then your sins are not recorded. They are blotted out, and you will not be held accountable for the sins that you have committed. Well, Paul goes on in Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so there's the very same terminology, the very same concept, that we are going to stand. And so Paul says that we don't have a right to judge our brother. We don't have a right to say whether he's right or wrong, whether he's saved or not saved, because Paul says that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So don't waste your time trying to evaluate all that your brother is doing, good or not good. Now, there are some instances, such as in church leadership, where you have to hold your brother accountable, where you have to make decisions. If your brother is in sin and you're in church leadership and you have a responsibility to maintain the purity of the church, maintain the pure leaven of the church, and so you have a responsibility at times to judge the fruits of your brother, and that's all well and good, that's acceptable, but to be casting dispersion on your brother that's not in the church, or your brother or sister that you know that are not in the body of Christ, and you're just casting dispersions on them and making judgments on them that you have no business to make, That is what Paul is talking about. So he's saying here, we're all going to stand, and he's speaking to Christians here, the Romans that this book of Romans is addressed to are new Christians. And so this is who he is addressing here. And he says, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And verse 11, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Verse 12, so each one shall give an account of himself to God. And so you're going to give an account of yourself. It's just like an accounting procedure, a ledger, and the good things that you've done. Again, that won't save you. You're saved by your confession, but the good things that you've done are being recorded by the angels in heaven. There are many books in heaven. There's a book of life for salvation. There's a book of works, many books of works. Everything that you do is recorded by the angels. And so the books will be taken out and you will be held accountable for everything that you've done, good or bad. And so can you imagine the rewards that missionaries are going to receive? Can you imagine the rewards that pastors and teachers and those who have been faithful to their calling are going to receive? Their reward is going to be very great. And when they get to heaven, the crowns will be taken out for them. The rewards will be taken out. Their mansions will be shown to them. And they're going to rejoice in the rewards, or with the rewards that they are given by the Lord Jesus and by the Father God when they get to heaven. Well, Paul goes on to say here in 1 Corinthians 3:8 about that judgment that is coming. He goes on to say, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. And so when you're planting seed, that's preaching the word. That's what I consider to be preaching the word. You're scattering the word. When we go out to the Crusades, not everybody comes forward at the Crusade to the altar to confess Jesus. Not everybody receives Jesus. Maybe they come to another Crusade a few months or a few years down the road, and at that time, that's when they receive Jesus. And so Paul says one plants and another waters, but the one that plants and the ones that water, they are one. They are working for the kingdom together, just that the rewards that they receive will be a bit different, because one plants, one waters, but they are one. And each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So if I come along, I preach the gospel to a group of people, and some receive, maybe some other evangelist or some other teacher has been in that area before. Maybe some radio evangelism has taken place in that area before. And so I might receive the reward for what I've done, but that other person that has spoken the word and preached the word and taught the word, they also will receive the reward for their own labor and for the things that they have done to lay the foundation. Well, Paul says in verse 10 in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he's talking about the labor that you do. He says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. And Paul, you know, he went into areas where the gospel had never been preached before. He went up into Turkey and Macedonia and Greece, and he went into Rome and maybe even on over to Spain. At least he was planning to go to Spain. And so Paul covered many territories. He covered many territories and what we call nations today, and provinces and places where the gospel had never been preached. And that's what he liked to do. That was his apostolic calling. He even went to Rome, and he was a prisoner in Rome, but he was preaching and speaking while he was there, even while he was in prison. And he wrote these books of the Bible, some of them while he was in prison. So Paul never quit laying that foundation. He said, no foundation can anyone lay other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. What he's saying is, if you're not laying down the foundation of the truth of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so that is the foundation that Paul laid. And everywhere he went, he wanted to preach Jesus and Christ crucified. He didn't have any other message. Yes, he spent some time building tents, and he spent time traveling and fighting wild beasts in Ephesus, but he was preaching everywhere he went, and he did that for many years, and it cost him his life. He ended up in a Roman prison, and then he ended up being executed, but he was first and foremost a preacher of the gospel, and he suffered great persecution. And so you can imagine, when you get to heaven, you're going to see the Apostle Paul, and great, great is going to be his reward, or is his reward, and great will be your reward also when you get to heaven. Now, in verse 12, he says, now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, and if you'll notice of that list, gold, silver, and precious stones are all somewhat permanent, but wood, hay, and straw are, you might say, weak and easily destroyed. And so he says in verse 13, each one's work will become clear, for the day, or the end day, the end time when Jesus calls the church home, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Well, as you can see in that list of elements and that list of substances, gold, silver, and precious stones are not going to be melted very easily by fire, although they can be changed in their shape and in their form. But the wood, hay, and straw will easily be destroyed, easily be melted, or easily be turned to ash by the fire. And so he's comparing these things, these substances, to the type of work that we have done. And some of us, the fire is going to consume the work that we've done, because the work that we've done is pretty flimsy and not very strong, and the work that we've done is not very substantial. Many people are happy to sit in a church, and some maybe not even go to church. They're mad at somebody in the church, or they've been offended, or they've been cast aside by somebody. But if you are persevering, if you are working to the end and you are persevering, your work then can be similar to gold, silver, precious stones, maybe diamonds. You know, diamonds can stand great heat, and they say they were formed in the earth as a result of great heat. And so when you build on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, your work is going to be substantial, it's going to be sustained, it's going to endure to the end. And so that is what Paul is saying, is that everybody's work is going to be revealed by the fire that is put to it. In verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. There's that concept again, that you're going to receive a reward if the work that you're doing is of great substance, is if the work that you're doing is for the kingdom, and you've sacrificed and you've made great sacrifices and been obedient to what the Lord calls you, you're going to receive a reward. But in verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. Or in other words, if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though through fire. In other words, Paul is saying here that your salvation is not going to be taken away. It's not a reward, or it's not a judgment for salvation. If you have confessed Jesus and you have confessed his name and repented of your sins, your reward has already been established, and that is, you are saved. But the works that you do will still, if they're not substantial works, if you're not being obedient to the call the Lord has on your life, and your works have no substance, They will be burned up by fire, but you yourself will be saved, yet as though through fire. And so we can look forward to that. Even the weakest of Christians who are going to be far away from the throne room, far away from the Lord's glory, but still in heaven, even the weakest of Christians who had weak faith and didn't step out and do anything for the kingdom, they will still be in heaven. They're going to be far away from the Lord's glory. Their mansion will be small. Their rewards will not be very great. But can you imagine those who have stepped out and been bold and confident in their work for the kingdom? They are going to be rewarded, and their reward is going to be very great. Their mansion in heaven is going to be very, very great. And many people are going to be there. Can you imagine? Reinhard Bonnke has led 75 or 78 million people to the Lord Jesus in his Africa crusades. Can you imagine his reward in heaven? Can you imagine what the Lord has in store for him as he is in heaven at this very day? Well, the rewards themselves, I'll spend just a minute or two here talking about the rewards. 2 Timothy 4:8. Paul says, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day." In other words, the day of accountability, the day when the church is caught up. Well, Paul is already in heaven, of course. He died many years ago. And so when his resurrection body is taken up at the rapture, he will receive his reward in heaven. And so Paul says that he is going to be given in the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, has laid up for him. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And so it appears that those who are ready for the Lord when the rapture comes, when Jesus comes back to gather up the church, that those who loved his appearing and have longed for his appearing are going to receive a reward in heaven. Well, James, the book of James, talks about in chapter 1, verse 12, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." And so now we have three crowns that have been talked about: the crown of righteousness, the crown of all who loved his appearing, and the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to all who love him. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive that unfading crown of glory." And so that is another crown, the unfading crown of glory that you are going to receive when you get to heaven. Well, beloved, I hope that this has encouraged you. If you're going through a battle right now, my encouragement and the Lord's encouragement to you today is stay in the battle. If you're going through a battle and you are wanting to quit, I say to you today, stay in there, endure to the end. The Lord has rewards for you. If you're not going through a great battle right now, get in the fight, and you will be going through a great battle. Get in the fight, find something to do for the kingdom. Find something to do that you can move forward in your calling, and the kingdom will be blessed by the work that you do. Jesus isn't going to come back and do the work that he has called us to do. We have work to do here. We are called to watch and pray. We are called to build churches. We are called to plant churches. We are called to preach the word. We are called to teach the word. We are called to take care of the widows and the orphans. And the sooner you get started doing that, the better you're going to feel about your Christian walk. The sooner you get started doing that, the greater your reward is going to be. Maybe you can't come to Africa. Maybe you can't go to Mexico. Maybe you can't go to Asia. But maybe you can if you pray about it. Maybe the Lord has a plan for you to go to India or to China or to Pakistan and preach the word. Maybe the Lord has a plan for you to come to Africa and preach the word. Pray about it, and the Holy Spirit will show you what you can do for the kingdom. Maybe you can just send a missionary, write out a check and send a missionary, and that will accomplish a great deal for the kingdom as well. But I guarantee you, God has a plan for you, and He has a call for you, and He has work for you to do. If you're a believer, get started in that work. Get started and move forward with the kingdom, and move the kingdom forward with yourself. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite you to support this ministry, not only to keep the radio broadcast coming, but also all of the projects we have going in Africa. We want to build a school next to the children's home so our children have a good school to go to here in Makunda in Kenya. And so that is a project we're praying about. That is a project we're looking at. We need the land. We need money for building materials. And so if you pray about that, maybe you can help us build a school here for the good children the Lord has given us to take care of. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.